Hello, hello. Welcome to the End Evil podcast. My name's Chris, and evil is the destruction of freedom. That's a slogan I got from the book, The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke, a great book. I recommend to check it all out. You can type in The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke, and you'll find it for free right there on the browser internet. It's a very expensive book to buy online, and we're working on looking for a way to get it reprinted. If you're curious about that, send me an email, chris@chrisjansen.com, and you can join the team. And you can also send me an email, chris@chrisjansen.com, and share something that you want to see on the show. I'm taking contributions. I'm always looking for ways to get community involved. And that's why we're doing a live roundtable tonight. The topic we're discussing is a continuation from the last week. The last week we talked about the zombie takeover, and that was with the One Great Work Warriors. It was a great episode. If you haven't checked it out, go on my YouTube page and look on the live link, or you can go to endevil.life. If you haven't yet, I really appreciate it, folks. Get on over to endevil.life and join the email group. And this is a good way to get involved with whatever we got going on. And there's also opportunities regularly on the show to come on live. So if you have a camera set up and you have some earphones and a microphone, we'd love to see you. You can also get on with your phone, but sometimes just a cell phone will be a little difficult with background noise and such. So we're trying to create content creators out there that are talking about natural law. And in the end, that's really the point of all this, is to create awareness and to help folks out in the world to learn, to recognize, to understand the concept of natural law. That there are laws to this universe. There are laws to reality. And natural means not man-made. So we're not talking about laws set in place by politicians or by rulers or authoritarians over time or religious people. We're talking about the inherent guiding principles of the world, of the universe. And by virtue of being humans on this planet, we have choices every day in our life. Every moment in our life, we have choices. And those choices involve the ability to do good in the world and to do things we want, to reach towards our desires. But in that process, many people find ways to lie, to steal, to murder. And when folks do these things that are not okay, that are not what we would want done to ourselves, it brings chaos into the world. So it should be a pretty simple concept that morality is important. If we're not morally living principled lives, then there's going to be more chaos around us. And the more we all as humans start to recognize the natural law of the universe, that our actions and our words and our deeds as humans affect other humans, and the outcome affects all of us and our grandchildren and their grandchildren, then perhaps we can start to recognize that the things we're doing, like trying to enforce our will upon other people with religions, or trying to mind control people with very subtle yet vicious like advertisements and coercion through mental mind manipulation, all the things we talk about on this show, over time people have become indoctrinated on the whole to not recognize that the power of choice and the value of our life as individuals. So it's all about teaching and learning natural law. We can discuss a variety of topics, but in the end, that is the topic that is most important. And if you're someone who's listening to this show, your goal, from my point of view, should be working towards how do you begin becoming a teacher of the concept of natural law, of objective morality, of even objective reality, to help people understand what's happening and how important it is for us to start making better choices for the future. So on that note, I'm going to open up this show for if any other folks want to join. Looks like we got Leslie and Crypt Rick in the chat. Hey, guys. And I saw Chris Nelson. if anybody wants to join me live on the show, and we're going to start discussing some of the zombie takeover stuff from last week. I already have in the studio here Derek and Brandon with me, and they're going to pop in just a second here. And we're going to continue our chat from last week. But if you're in the audience, I'm going to go ahead and put the link in there. If you want to join live, just make sure you have either a pair of headphones or a way to listen without getting background sound, and turn your camera on, and I'll bring you on in. So I'll bring these guys in and let them talk a little bit while I find that link. Welcome, Brandon, Derek, and looks like we got Leslie with us here too. Awesome. Welcome, guys. Let me see. Can I get you on the screen? How do I get you? Let's see. There's Brandon. There's Derek. And there's Leslie. So let's see if I can get us all in here. All right. You guys, how you guys doing tonight?
Groovy. Doing well. Yeah.
I'm doing good.
I'm inspired to pop on tonight.
Thanks, Leslie. Thanks, Brandon. Welcome, Derek. How's things in France?
Pretty good. Definitely not as hectic as what's going on in the East Coast. Much condolences. And yeah, my heart goes out to the folks dealing with some natural disasters, which is pretty damn bad. Actually, by the French Riviera, there's a good amount of like flooding and stuff. And I heard there's like hail going on in some places. And you know, I'm sick of the just like the tabloid-esque type of, you know, like the clickbait titles and like these ridiculous over the top thumbnails. You know, it's like people are fucking dying and suffering, and people just want to make content and get the views and all that stuff, and it's like, at the expense of what, man? Chill. Like anyways, we walk on sacred grounds about that natural law. Unfortunately, the contrary of the zombie-ified, zomboid, they lack that, as well as a heart and brains, which is why they're always hungry for it and got to feed off of other people, right? Anyways, hey, Chris, bonjour. Long time no see, mon ami.
Hey, not that long ago.
Yeah, welcome, Chris. Thanks for coming. Yeah, Derek, what you're saying, you know, this is a good example right now with a lot of crazy stuff, wild and crazy stuff in the mainstream media. You're going to see most content creators out there just spinning off of this stuff. You know, what's happening now? What's going to, you know, but rarely do you see anyone bring it back to principle and try to understand, like, something Brandon and I were talking about right before this show is, like, we got to quit expecting to see, like, all this change happening, like, right now. The ball's already rolling downhill. There's already a chain of events in motion. Humans have done quite a few evil things leading up to now, and we're going to have to feel the outcome of that to an extent. We're encouraging people to start looking at things differently and understanding natural law. That is the main important thing, but that might take some time. In the meantime, we're going to see some problems, you know, and people wandering the streets with zombies is exactly what we're going to see if, you know, there's no food in the stores and people don't have a way to get resources. And we live in such a society that most people aren't self-responsible on food or health or water or anything. So when these big giant corporations and entities that run all these things aren't doing their job, then everybody gets to see, you know, like, well, how does that work? You know, so I'll pass it off. Brandon, you want to jump in next?
I can only visualize people eating toilet paper, you know, because doing the whole COVID stuff, people going out and buying the stuff. But, you know, people have become so ignorant and low states of consciousness that people will probably be eating the toilet paper. Then once that's done, then they'll really start eating each other. And I honestly do see people, you know, like they're in such a state of fear and ignorance that they would start eating each other, you know, like rather than die. And this kind of gets into what Chris brought up, is the evil within. You know, something that's portrayed in a lot of the whole zombie entertainment is how when the society breaks down or when the conditions become unfavorable, then, you know, it kind of brings out that evil within ourselves. And, you know, we start to go into this animalistic, you know, mindset, not just with the zombie, you know, but with the individuals, you know, the so-called survivors, you know, they start to, you know, abandon groups, you know, start to create, you know, these forms of authority to survive. And it's still getting into, you know, like the whole evil that is within our own selves that needs to be looked at, that needs to be dealt with. And, you know, a light needs to be shined, you know, held upon that. And like I said, you know, like the whole evil within that's being brought out with the whole zombie, you know, like the whole like murdering someone and then consuming them. What more evil thing could you possibly do, you know, to murder another life and to consume it, to, you know, to take it, you know, within your own, you know, body as energy. Of course, you know, we're talking about sentient, you know, held conscious life, another human being. But, you know, like what can be more evil and vile and more disgusting, you know, hell than that? But, you know, when conditions, like rather it be a natural, you know, health disaster or war, when the conditions start to break down, no matter what society, then you start seeing people do these kind of evil things. And, you know, sadly, that's what we are starting to see more and more within the world. So I want to say, like, this evil within is being willed out of people at an unconscious level, because most people don't even recognize the evil that is, you know, that is within themselves. They think they're just these good, you know, like these good human beings. And it's like, sorry, you're not. We all have that evil. Like, we all have that capability, but it's a choice, you know? So if you're operating on that subconscious level or that unconscious level, then yeah, that evil is going to be brought, you know, it's going to be willed out. It's going to be pulled out. It's going to be summoned out, you know? And that's really what we are seeing. And I know Chris talked about this, and I kind of talked about it with the whole moral relativistic, you know, mindset and the whole lack of spirit, the whole lack of consciousness, the whole lack of emotions, the whole lack of empathy, pretty much like the lacking of care, you know, the lacking of being human. So, yeah, that's just what I wanted to you know, bring about. And I'm sure Chris Nelson will bring some hell amazing points as well as Leslie. So hell, I pass it on.
Who's next? I'll go.
I was muted. Yeah, go ahead, Leslie.
Okay. So I'm a mental health specialist. I'm a psychotherapist and clinical social worker. So that's my wheelhouse and that's my perspective where I come from. And I have an understanding of trauma and how trauma hijacks our brain and nervous system. And I'm expanding my definition of trauma to include a chronic stress. You know, any one of us that's under chronic stress is getting wear and tear on our system, right? And that over time wears us down. It's traumatizing in different ways. It causes harm to our bodies and minds and spirit. And so I wanted to share a little about the effects of trauma, because trauma really is reflected in symptoms. And these symptoms are can mimic, I guess, this concept of a zombie, right? Being depressed, losing a sense of your own identity, having self-destructive behavior or reactive, aggressive behavior, feeling unreal and out of your body, numbing, right? There's emotional overwhelm, right? Trauma puts our brain into an imbalance. It activates a fear. And so when we are at, our brains are out of balance and our nervous system is hijacked, then we are basically resorting to the non-human part of our brain. You know, our frontal lobes, they shut down, and we're in the animal and the reptile brain, which is a very survival-oriented a mechanism, a fight, flight, freeze, right? And so we think of the zombie as like, either they're kind of like, I had a client actually who was like, yeah, I've been just kind of like a zombie. I can't even think. I can't like follow through on my goals. He's just kind of going through the motions, right? Not really leading his own life. And then on the other extreme is the aggressive zombie who's out there for blood. That's like afraid, like I need to get all the toilet paper and you're in my way, you know, and shove you aside, right? And so there is a very deep connection in this zombie motif to our mental health and the degree to which we are regulated emotionally, and how our condition of being subjected to traumas and not understanding our own psychology is setting us up for these extremes where we then are out of the window of tolerance, so to speak. So which would be the term that means that we're within the window where we can manage our emotions and we can tolerate our feelings without going to an extreme. You know, where we can think, we keep our frontal lobes online, and we can feel simultaneously. And our reactions are adapting in a reasonable way, right? And when we get on overwhelm and we turn into zombie mode, we're either going to be hyper aroused in our level of nervous system state. Our nervous system becomes hyper aroused, and then we become overwhelmed, panicky, impulsive, aggressive, hypervigilant, very defensive, quick to fight. We don't feel safe. We're reactive, angry, and our mind is racing. We can only tolerate that for so long before we crash. And then we're down in the bottom side of it, where we are kind of numb, kind of dead to ourselves, very passive, without feelings. Our energy is lost. We can't think. We're disconnected from each other, from ourself, shut down, maybe dealing with shame. We can't say no. We don't have the energy, right? So a lot of people in our world are on this roller coaster ride from one high to the low, and not in this window of tolerance where we're really integrated in that right left hemisphere, and that where we are able to come back to rest and recuperation. But instead, it's like a symptom in our society of people being dysregulated from chronic stress, unresolved trauma. And a lot of that is it's set up in our society by the state and by the violations of natural law in our world. So that's what I wanted to get across. Who's next?
Thanks, Leslie. That's really well put. I've learned so much from you about the effects of trauma. And it's like, I knew about it, but I never really consciously put it in its place. The way I've learned, you know, from you, because I think you spent so much time looking at and experiencing other people's trauma throughout your career, that you have this incredible empathy for human beings. And it's easy for us to start turning off our sensitivity in different ways as humans. And, you know, like if you've been injured, for instance, you get a callus, you know, or playing the guitar, you know, the ends of your fingers get callus, right? Which isn't always a bad thing. Like if you were in a war, you'd have to get more callous to death, right? Because you're fighting, you know, and you're seeing people die around you. But we live in this day-to-day life where that callousness is all over the television and the media, and people are becoming more like numb to feeling things in different times and places where maybe we should feel things, and vice versa. You're like getting really intense about feelings about stuff that kind of doesn't matter that much in terms of the context of other people and their concerns, you know? And so there's a lot to be thought about and to consider there. But let's hear from Chris. Thanks for joining us, Chris. What do you got to say, my man?
Hey, glad to be here. It's like my favorite online interactive time of the whenever it happens of the month. Yeah, I recognize a lot of the stuff Leslie was talking about from her trauma presentation. So that's a lot of good information there. So I watched what you guys talked about last week, but I was like, was doing other stuff. So I rewatched it just before, this went live, and I noted some things that came to my mind. So there's the like symbolism or the connection, the similarity with the zombie and being a golem or a husk, like the whole Passio concept of selflessness, of not having the self, you know, and it ties into the moral relativism that Brandon talked about a lot. And so it's like, you want what you want. So in the case of zombies, it's brains, right? They just go after the brains and anything else. Well, who cares? And that's, they just go for it. And so they do anything to get it. And that's the de facto Satanism. That's the, what people want is what they want. And that's what drives their behaviors, these motivations and these drives from a lower consciousness modalities, rather than that would be the selflessness part. It ties into the Satanism aspect of, you know, they just want what they want. They wake up in the morning and they think of, what can I do for me and mine? And, you know, fuck the greater aspect of care and agape and care for others and other sentient beings. And also the zombies, another thing was the zombies as the undead. That's what they're thought of as, they're the undead. So they're dead, but they're moving, but they're not. So like dead, but alive, but they're not alive because we're alive. So they're the undead. So they've been dead, but then they become undead. And so that's the, you know, the whole Hiram Abiff and all that, symbolism related to the dead, where there's no intelligence, no care, no will. That's what a zombie is. It doesn't think, there's no intelligence, doesn't care about anything except for brains. It's the lower base drive that it has, but it has no care for anything else, and it has no will for anything other than that base underlying drive and motivation to go for the brains. So it's just programmed base behavior to eat, like the brains, or could be just the body parts. Just it wants flesh, you know. Typically it's the brains that people like the stereotypical, I guess, part of the body that the zombies are known to go for. But pretty much in all the movies, you know, they bite you anywhere. And maybe, I don't know, maybe in one of the movies it became part of lore where that's their favorite place to eat. I don't know where that came from, but so the majority of people are in that same mindset, or the relative to being alive and the living, or like with a capital L, living. And that relates to like ancient Egypt, where after you'd be dead, you go to the land of the East, and that's the paradise. And that's where you would become the living with a capital L. And, you know, only the Pharaoh was part of that living group. And anyways, there was the whole manipulation of the power structure there related to that lore that they had. So that the living is someone who, you know, in the true symbolism, like the esoteric side, not the manipulative side, but that's someone who cares for truth and is resurrected from the dead in that type of second birth. So the majority are in that dead space relative to that real alive space where you get that awakening to actually care for truth, and you start to embody that more and more, and you go through that resurrection into like a newer version of yourself that is higher relative to the previous part of your life, which was lower relative to that higher state that you're in now. And yeah, the majority is the masses, and that's the horde. Like there was a lot of mention of the zombie horde in the previous podcast. And that's the collective and the groupthink of the zombie horde. So that's where everyone has the same blueprint of thinking, right? In the groupthink, everyone thinks the same. So, and it's the same blueprint of behavior. So people are doing what others do so that they can fit in, so that they can belong. They can feel like they belong to someone, not to be ostracized, not to be outcast, because that social structure is heavily based on what other people think of you and their inclusion of you in their social circle. So if you go against the grain too much, then you get excluded from that system, that dynamic of social inclusion, where you can rely on people and they'll do things for you. Because then if they exclude you, then they're not going to want to help you. So it's the survival mindset, this low base consciousness drive and motivation for fitting in, just to ensure that if you're in a tough time, then you have the people around you that will be willing to help you, as opposed to, you know, going against the grain or living in truth or saying hard truths, then people in their lower version of themselves that they currently are, they reject and they deny, and then they get defensive and it causes conflict. So people avoid conflicts at all costs because it jeopardizes that social inclusion dynamic. And tie into that, the bandwagon effect of wanting to fit in, just going with the flow, with where everyone else is going, hop on the bandwagon, whatever the newest trend is, and going with what's popular. And, you know, the celebrity idol worship of, you know, celebrities say things and then everyone gets on it. Like, you know, Elon Musk was more popular, whatever, 4 years ago or whatever it was. And he was like, he talks about Dogecoin, which was a shit coin. And then it became super popular just because, like, he talks about it. So people were like, oh, a popular person's talking about it. Let's get on it. And, as this aspect of the majority and the masses, the horde, the collective, the group think, there is mindless repetition of the behaviors of others, where you're just repeating what others do, repeating how others think. So it's the similarity of being, there's also the similarity of being unconscious when dead. So when you're dead or asleep, when you're asleep, you're unconscious. So that's where we get the terminology of, you know, are you awake or are you asleep? And if you're living or dead, the undead, the uninitiated, where you don't, where you have more of an apathy for truth as opposed to an awakened, vibrant care for truth. And that brings people to the unconscious living, where they're living an unexamined life, which, as whatever quote that may or may not have been said by Socrates, I think it was, the unexamined life is not worth living. So they're living something that's not worth living. So again, it relates back to being dead, because you're not really living. And the unconscious living, that also ties into like the unconscious and subconscious modalities of consciousness, where there's these motivations and drives for behavior that come from the unconscious and subconscious. So that could be from symbolism or popular people. So people engage in things and want to mimic things, imitate and repeat things, just because they don't even really know where it's coming from. So that's why, like, commercials and advertising and marketing does work very well on some people. So that's the unconscious and subconscious bringing certain drives and inclinations to the conscious mind, and then people act upon it, but they're not examining it to see where that's actually coming from, if it's something they actually need or they really want. And those are the three things that I have in my file that I noted from watching the last episode.
Great. Thanks, Chris, for bringing all those things up. That's also a great summary. A lot of things that we talked about, but, you know, adding your own little twist. And you got me thinking about, for some reason, you got me thinking about leftovers from good food. You know, like, just imagine you spent all evening cooking a feast, you know, in the kitchen for an hour and a half, and using all the pots and pans in the kitchen, and you put together this feast, and then right when you go to sit down to eat it, something interrupts you and you get pulled away, right? So then later you come back and it's like, man, it would have been this perfect meal, but now it's all cold. So you put it in the refrigerator or something, and then someone opens the door and the whole thing spills on the floor. You know, it's like all that time and energy went into eating those pots and making those dishes and preparing this meal, and then you never got to enjoy it. And I think that's kind of like what we're talking about with this undead thing. It's like you, the whole universe conspired to give you this opportunity. It's the most valuable thing that we could possibly have, is the ability to live in a body and every moment make choices. And yet, because of the culture of indoctrination in our systems and the minds of most people, they're being robbed of every other opportunity, or, you know, almost all of them. And many times because they don't even recognize it's theirs to have, you know. No one ever said you can think about things your own way. Ever since I was born, they were telling me, no, this is what you have to do. Get in this line here, go to that class. If you don't do good in there, then this is what's going to happen. You know, you're constantly being given instructions and a recipe for what's going to work and what's not going to work. And rare are the people that say, hey, you can think whatever you want with your mind. You can do whatever you want with your body. You don't have to do what other people have told you. That message just isn't out there enough. It's not getting to people enough. It hasn't been, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't be on such a single track for destruction. But yeah, I see a lot of steam coming out of Derek's ears over there. So I'm going to pass it to Derek. No?
I was just thinking about, it's kind of, I'm still kind of waking up. It's, whoa, 3:33 in the morning. Perfect timing to chime in. Speaking of chiming, Chris, you reminded me of this. And it was brought up kind of, it's just like the symbolic representation, like our job as resurrectors is to wake up the dead. And yeah, like the uninitiated, the unbegun, like the unalive. And then, yeah, it's unfortunate. And sometimes that's kind of the way I speak, in just, you know, trying to light a little spark within the psyche, the soul, right? And yeah, Leslie, great points you brought up about psychology. And yeah, I was kind of curious as to what you thought about my kind of, it's not a big ass concern, but I was just like kind of confused as to why zombie movies are so damn popular and like horror flicks in general. Yeah, there's a lot of females out there that really are attracted to those types of movies, and I don't know if it's just like the adrenaline rush that they get or that kind of stuff, but yeah, what's like the over fascination with, you know, these zombie flicks and these series and all this stuff, and like people are doing these little parody things on YouTube now and this and that, and I mean, we got mindless entertainment, mindless music, mindless food, mindless drugs and all this stuff, so is it that much of a surprise that folks, you know, have kind of, you know, lost their minds? And there's this mental health epidemic or whatever, and it could be systemic or whatever, but yeah, it just seems like since the dawning of the Rona, you know, shit hit the fan. Of course, it was shitty times, and people came out the woodworks with their shitty ass fucking attitudes, and that's why they bought all the fucking toilet paper. Like, who the fuck does that? And why the fuck do you think that's such a goddamn fucking essential thing? Like, goddamn, you know, in Europe people still use bidets. Like, that's actually better for your booty hole than motherfucking, you know, torn up, you know, bleached paper. I mean, how many fucking trees got cut down for this fucking shitty ass situation, man? Goddamn. Anyways, not to go on a little side tangents, but yeah, people lack attention spans, and it's just like they're not in that frontal lobe, you know, state of mind, you know, they're just easily distracted on whatever the fuck, you know, it's like a moth to a flame or a light or something like that. They're just, you know, buzzing around like aimlessly. And there's like, whatever's buzzing, you know, not everything that shines is, I always forget how they say that. I'm not trying to be too clever, but yeah, not everything that's, you know, shiny or blingy is, you know, something of, you know, that proper light source, that life force type of thing. I'm taking it to the sun and, you know, representing knowledge and all that jazz. I didn't really have a whole lot to say. Yeah, like as far as like movies and stuff, yeah, it's interesting to see. Yeah, like Fred, you mentioned the Fast Times these days and this and that, and something about 28 days later, where yeah, they just, you know, come in swarms and this and that, and it kind of reminded me as well of the Matrix in a sense, and beyond just the agents. I mean, like the last one, like Matrix Resurrections, right? They had all these bots, and it just went into like super crazy swarm hyper mode type of shit. So I don't know, just like little things come to mind, and just, yeah, interesting correlations there, and just how it you know, it kind of makes sense looking at things more abstract or whatever, but yeah, any thoughts, anyone?
Yeah, like bringing it back, Derek, you know, that's, if people don't know, like, how do we get these ideas for topics, right? Like, we meet every week, Derek, myself, Brandon, and the other One Great Work Warrior guys, and we'll just talk about what's going on in our life, right? And then a lot of times it'll come up, a conversation we're having with someone, or maybe a show we just watched on TV. And that question that Derek asked was really what got this whole thing going for me, was like, yeah, I get the zombie thing. I've seen werewolf movies. I've seen vampire movies. But why is there so much? Why is it, it seems like it's been accumulating energy. Like, there's more and more zombie movies. You know, for a while there, the vampire ones were getting really intense, you know, but it just seems like the zombie ones are just overwhelming, and the zombie video games. And I don't know, maybe it's because back in the day I got one of those video games on my iPad, and it was like all these zombies are coming towards this warehouse and you have to just annihilate them and you get all this weaponry, right? And I understand why that's fun, because like I've enjoyed it too. Like, you get to live vicariously through just mowing down fields of bad guys, right? You know, and that's exciting, and like kids all over the world are doing that on a regular. And so, but what is that doing on a deeper down, you know, part of your body is going through the traumatic cycle every time of this whole confrontation where you're killing something, you know, you're destroying something, but you've, you know, like Chris is saying, it's this desensitization of killing others, and this devaluation of how valuable we are and our choice and our ability to tune our brain to a higher level, to a higher degree, and get out of what Leslie was talking about, that base functioning, I have to do this right now or else, otherwise this is going to happen. I don't have any choices. I'm overwhelmed. I can only think about two things. And it's like, how does a magician or anyone who's going to trick you or fool you do that? They always use very similar methods. And generally, it's by distracting you in some way or another. If you're distracted, then you don't notice what the other hand is doing. So it really falls upon us to not be so distracted and find a way to pull ourselves out of all the crosstalk going on out there and all the BS, and just talk seriously about, what does this all mean? Why are we doing what we're doing? And that's a good opportunity to plug Sarah Cross and her show Crosstalk. I know she started up on Revolution Radio now, Sarah Cross, Crosstalk. I'd like to add that a little advertisement for her show. Folks should check out her work too. But we giving you any food for thought there, Brandon? Anything you want to pop in on?
Yeah. After hearing Leslie, Chris, and Derek talk, I can only think about the crowd, man, and like how dangerous it is and how dangerous it, like, the crowd has always been, you know, the collective unconscious, you know, that when we as individuals mass together in these group dynamics, you know, rather be sports, you know, rather be, you know, political, like when we get together in these large groups and these large numbers, and how we, you know, like just lose track of self, you know, like we lose sense of self. We just completely, you know, lose track of morality, thinking, true discernment, you know, empathy, and how when we are in these large gatherings, you know, like even in like some of these big music festivals, you know, there's a lot of energy in the air and you can feel it, you know, how you can resonate with it. And even if you are extremely conscious, if you are in that environment, that starts to reflect upon you, you know, and how your sense of discernment starts to weaken, you know, in the crowd, you know, and it's, you know, it's just like the horde, you know, and that's all I can think about, man, because I'm not a fan of crowds. I'm not a fan of going to, you know, like large gatherings. I'm more of a individual who like to be by myself. Like even when we go, or even when I call, like at these tournaments, when I go on break, like I like to chill by myself. Like I don't like being around these groups, you know, of hundreds to a thousand people, because like people just get so ignorant, man. And you know, like they just shirk responsibility. And you know, like we've seen it time and time again, like we have so much evidence to talk about this, but like the main thing is like we lose sense of who we truly are. Like we lose sense of our humanity. And that's one of the biggest things that I'm trying to get to people, and what the whole symbolic or the whole, you know, like how nature of the zombie is what I was trying to portray in the form of, you know, like what I was saying is I've always seen it as a representative of what man is in its lowest level state, even lower than a animal, you know, because, you know, like the whole consumption of human flesh is one of the most degrading things you could do. It devalues you. It'll start to break down your whole spiritual and physical being. It's so degrading. It's like one of the most dangerous and unhealthiest things to consume. You know, so what does that say to, you know, consume such dense material? You know, to eat another human being like that right there is just crazy. But, you know, symbolically, we're all, you know, feeding off each other. Technically, this whole system is feeding off each other. You know, government is feeding off us. Order followers are feeding off of us. This whole system is based on that whole dynamic of feeding off of other individuals. So we live in like a zombie system. It's a corporation. It's a dead thing functioning as a living thing, but it's feeding off of all of us. It's feeding off of our energy. It's feeding off of our labor. It's feeding off of our children. It's feeding off of our grandkids. You know, so like this whole motif is ingrained everywhere in society. And what Leslie brought up about the whole trauma thing, like that's very, you know, like that's something that really needs to be looked at. Because like I said, you know, like the whole image of the zombie biting you is traumatic. You know, like even in the movies, if you saw someone get bit, it was always traumatic. So you had the whole, like you had the whole traumatic cycle, you know, starting and then bam, you know. Is something that, you know, that was pretty much, you know, have brought about in all hell those movies. And then it gets into like the whole, you know, adultery of horror flicks, and, you know, like how we just keep traumatizing ourselves, you know, and desensitizing ourselves to these sick, you know, like horrific scenes, which in reality, man isn't really supposed to watch these scenes as like, you know, like so many times. Because it starts to desensitize you to these things. And then, you know, you start to say, well, you know, when it really does happen, it's become like, you know, how you become so used to it to where like it's normal. And that's really what we've seen, you know, through the whole movies, you know, because a lot of these movies are just, you know, the cremation of care pretty much put on your, like on your own screen, and it's being projected into your own consciousness. A lot of people think that the cremation of care is just a ritual that they do at what the Bohemian Grove, like, I mean, that ritual is taking place millions upon millions of time a day on the television screen, on your smartphone, in these stupid ass TikTok videos, you know, the whole lack of care, you know, and the lack of care is what's killing the imagination. And that's why people can't think outside the box. That's why people can't think outside of what the crowd tells them to do. You know, they can't think outside of the horde. But yeah, that's what was coming to mind, is the dangerous crowd, man. You know, because we saw what the crowd could do 4 years ago. Like, we saw it with our own eyes. And that shit was freaking scary, you know. And it's just a matter of time before they'll summon up those demons, you know, hell again soon.
Yeah, and you're saying thinking outside of the box. I had this image of, like, I've had some friends that their mom and dad weren't really around. And they grew up with, like, their grandparents or something. And there were other people in the household, and these kids just like sat in front of a big screen every day for their childhood. I think there's a lot of kids out there like that. And it kind of makes me think about, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but they did some remake of The Dark Crystal. If you haven't seen the movie The Dark Crystal, this is something I want to cover on a future symbolism. It's one of the best symbolism movies.
Was that the one with David Bowie?
No, that's Labyrinth. Excellent movie for allegory. But The Dark Crystals, these, it's like kind of like, it is similar in the way of Labyrinth because it was puppets. And if you haven't checked it out, I hella recommend it, because they've got a series they put on Netflix where it was redone. And the Skeksis are the bad guys, basically, right? And they're these kind of more powerful than the Gelflings, which are the smaller beings. They're kind of like these little elf people, and they're more natural. They live in tribes and stuff. But the Skeksis like gather up the Gelflings, and they bring them into their lair, and they got this like thing where they make them stare at the crystal, and they've got this crystal like program to make it so they're like their eyes change to where you can't see their eyes anymore, and they literally like suck the soul juice out of them and then they drink it so they can have more life. So they're willing to like let all these Gelflings on the whole planet die so that they can give themselves more energy and more life, you know. So it's very symbolic of the dark occultists that are beaming out this, you know, this crystal light on all these boxes, and you got all these poor little kids sitting in front of it because they don't know better. You know, no one's telling them, don't sit there, don't watch the light, you know, don't go into the light like Poltergeist, right? And they're getting sucked in by these demonic forces. And it literally is demonic. A demon is an entity that doesn't have the agency of a body, right? So when you think about things in our country, like our country, you know, a corporation, a government, these are made up entities that don't have a literal heart or a soul. They don't breathe. And yet they're ruling over us. Like in that stupid zombie video game, there's hordes and hordes of zombies, and there's like this big giant one. He's like the boss zombie, you know? That's like the government, right? And then you got all these regular people out there that are just like totally fine with this situation. This is fine. They don't see the problem, you know? And so that's what we're trying to do, is like highlight just how serious this is. This is like the Skeksis, like mesmerizing your mind and everyone else's mind day by day, and all the children of the world. And you're growing up and not realizing it over and over, day after day, moment after moment. And some of us are trying to say like, hey, I'm not most brilliant guy, but there's a problem here. You know, we're not doing the right thing. We're doing the wrong thing. And that's why we're trying to do this show and educate people. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Derek's not saying he's perfect. We're saying, hey, we all of us humans, we got to recognize what's happening here on a large scale and find a way to start seeing it for what it is. Because just being aware of it, just being awake to it, just being able to talk about it with confidence does huge amount for our ability to work together and make it stop happening. But until we're all, or enough of us, are on that same page where we're like resisting the Skeksis and trying not to look at their evil crystal, then we're just fueling the fire for more of this terrible crap to keep on happening, because we're one of the zombies that's actually doing the bad things because we allowed ourselves to get hypnotized by their dark crystal light. But Leslie, I know you got something good to say, so I'm gonna pass it over to you.
Well, I got something to say, and I think this is good brain food that, you know, you guys are producing here, compared to the brain food of the zombie, right? That the zombie's going after to seek immediate gratification without controlling their impulses, with no real direction or goal with their movement, right? Just survival. You know, and I think that this curiosity, this titillation with zombies is really about our primal fears. It's something, it reflects something that's inside all of us. Our archetypal fears, as one of our commenters said. And I think we've had a lot of really good comments that are kind of stimulating my thought. So, you know, we all have this shadow inside us. And when we are under duress and in these difficult survival modes of operation through life, you know, we have all sorts of dark emotions, right? The despair and the helplessness. And Fred, you made a comment about that, about it really catalyzes, you know, dangerous behavior and impulsivity. And I think that humans are kind of have this tension between the fear of losing control and the desire to lose control. You know, I think people have fantasies about just like saying whatever the fuck they want, just going crazy, you know, and you can see this in concerts. You can see it, you know, in MMA, you can see it in the wrestling, right? There's a need to channel and process this deep, you know, shadow material. And that I think the tension of that gets bigger the more duress that we experience, you know, in our lives. And that you know, we're in a boiling pot right now. The pressure is increasing. So I think that may explain some of this obsession with these zombies, you know, because it's an outlet, it's a need for people to channel this energy. They're even not doing it consciously necessarily, but like Brandon was saying, you know, there's we are feeding off each other in this world, metaphorically. And, you know, I think people know this. They can taste the blood, you know, it's really, something very primal, and people don't know what to do about that, how to get out of it. And like Rick was saying, you know, about he's in chronic pain, right? He lives with chronic pain and he needs to overcome. He needs to, you know, he's learning about that. Well, that's a skill that all people really need to learn, is how do you process pain and discomfort? How do you develop the discipline, right? To use the discipline rather than letting go of that energy, you know? And if you're just stuffing it down and ignoring it, you're not processing it. And it's not going to go away. It's going to be this pressure underneath. It's going to come up and need an outlet. So the trick is to take personal responsibility. No excuses, right? You know, we can have compassion for ourselves, for each other, but the bottom line is personal responsibility to do something with all this pressure that we're feeling, and to learn about, you know, our own self and our psychology so that we can manage this tension and this energy in a responsible way, in a way that has direction and goal, that's not just mindless and just about like burning off the steam and, you know, leading to things that are more addictive or very temporary, right? People are reaching out to all sorts of temporary feel goods, but it's not really doing the job right, you know? So let me see what else. And I think, yeah, Chris, you talked a bit about the culture, you know, and how people are not questioning the culture that we're in, that not questioning the status quo, the conditions of our slavery, you know, the 40-hour work week, the, you know, the little, first you do elementary school, then you do middle school, then you do high school, then you go to college or you get a job and you work 40 hours and you got to do this to pay your bills. And then maybe you get married or you have a kid, and whatever order you decide doesn't seem to matter anymore, you know, and it's, and then people are embracing this culture, but then by doing so, actually creating a lot of their own internal tension and unmet needs that's then churning inside them and creating this energy they don't know what to do with. So here comes zombie land, you know? So I'll stop there.
Thanks, Leslie. Yeah, and also thanks for pointing out we are getting some good comments. Really like Adam's comment. I'm going to read it because it wasn't showing it on the whole screen. He said, "My take, for what it's worth, the zombie genre taps into deep archetypal fears representing the shadow, our repressed unconscious drives, and modern society's anxiety about losing individuality in a mass consumer-driven culture. Zombies symbolize a fear of becoming soulless or disconnected from deeper meaning, as well as the death and rebirth archetype, reflecting both the collapse of society and the potential for renewal. It's a metaphor for our collective fear of societal collapse and loss of identity, while also exploring the chance for personal transformation in times of crisis." It was pretty well put. And then there's also some good comments by John Bain in the Instagram chat. And he says, you know, it kills your empathy and ability to feel, being unconscious, that is. Not everything that shines is great. And he's talking about the film The Purge, or the ancient gladiator rings, as another example of, you know, that desensitization, I think is what he was probably referring to there, because that's when we were talking about that. But yeah, thanks for everyone who's hanging out in the chat and making comments and giving this some thought. Libercast Thank you for your comments. He was saying, what Fred was saying was, okay, what about solutions? You know, and I think Leslie was starting to tap into that. And that's kind of what I'm doing too, with saying, you know, the main solution here is being aware and conscious of what's going on. You know, like me and Derek were asking, like, wait, I see that it's a zombie movie, and I see it's, like Brandon saying, one of the most disgusting things one human could do to another, eating. But why are we watching this? You know, if it was done once for artistic effect, okay, yeah, I get it. We were trying to make a point. But why are we indulging in it? Why are we eating it like candy? You know, why are we swimming in it? Why are we bathing in it? You know, this is disgusting. And it's not always positive, you know, to work towards a solution. Sometimes on the job site, for me, the recognition that I've made a mistake is pretty upsetting. I have to go backwards and fix something I did wrong. You know, that's where we're at in humanity. And the path forward is turning around and looking at what we've done wrong, and then turning back around and, you know, how do we transform ourselves and not be zombies in the future? You know, how do we help other people be conscious and aware? Well, our solution, those of us who are here, are learning to be better speakers, are learning to find metaphors, find different topics and visuals to back up what we're saying, find other human beings that can reflect of what we're saying, and say it in such a way that maybe other people out there can watch it and understand it and think about it. You know, if two people tonight are laying in bed thinking about natural law, yeah, we did that. You know, I want 2,000, you know, 200,000, 2 million. But if I can get two today or one, that's what I'm going to have to, you know, take. That's going to be the takeaway. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for sharing. I'll go around if anyone has any last little comments here. And then I got a cool little video. Derek did some awesome work for me. He put together a little musical compilation. And one of our awesome and evil podcast supporters and helpers, Marvin from Join the Internet, made a song about zombies. And Derek put some visuals to that. And we're going to play those at the end of the show tonight. So I'm looking forward to running the show out with those couple little things. But we got a few more minutes. If anyone had some stuff on your mind, feel free. We're not in any rush, but go ahead. Chris, do you have something?
I can add a few little things going out. So the distractions, that's a major part. I think in some of my older work, I've called it perceptual distractions. So whatever catches our attention through whatever we hear, whatever we see, well, we turn towards it, and then our time and attention goes towards that, and then we can feed into it. So, for example, like what Brandon was saying about the crowd and stadiums, so there's tribalism in that, and you know, you don't fuck with the tribal identity of someone's sports team, because those diehards are defenders and they're going to attack you if you, like, you know, if you go against that tribe. Or so when you're in a crowd situation and everyone's thinking the same way and there's like immorality that's supported, well, your survival, you know, if you go against what they think is the norm, what's been normalized, then you could end up on the wrong end of that beating stick. But about the distractions, what I was going to say was that I don't even remember what the crowd part, so I'll go to something else. The one thing that I've mentioned that is a major problem in the so-called truth and freedom movement is the distractions that people focus on in terms of like what I call the lower part of the great work, the first part, which is making people aware that there is evil going on so that they can care and then be motivated to want to do something about it. But that's, people get stuck in that, and it just becomes about the flavor of the week, you know, because every day, every hour, every week, every month, there's always something new. There's always something. Look over here, they're doing this bad thing. Look over there, they're doing this bad thing. So let's talk about this bad thing going over here, and let's talk about this bad thing over there. But if you keep just doing that, then all you're going to end up doing is talking about the bad things that keep coming up, because that's what they're doing. They're generating evil, and they're getting other people to generate evil. So There's going to be an endless supply, an infinite supply until the end of time, or until we annihilate ourselves or whatever. But, you know, it's just going to be an endless supply of, oh, here's an instance of evil. Look at this today. It's like the flavor of the week, but it's for actions of evil and immorality that happen. And people get stuck on, you know, that aspect of describing the prison. So it ultimately goes nowhere. It's like, okay, you're aware of evil. Well, then go to the second level, which is to teach how to end evil, which is moral education. People, that's hard work. You know, first you have to understand it, and then teaching it, well, that requires confidence and will and courage and overcoming things. So one of the solutions, the ultimate solution is moral education. And before that, you know, it was all the shadow work, the work on ourselves, stuff that Leslie's been talking about. Another thing about repetition is, like Brandon mentioned, the normalization. So we get normalized into immoral behavior because the more we see it, the more we get desensitized to it, and the more we accept that, oh, well, that's just something that happens, and then you care less about it because, well, that's just happening and there's nothing I can do about it. And then you feel disempowered and learned helplessness. So you're that elephant tied to a little stake that they could easily pull out, but they've been normalized to accept that they can't do anything about it. And one thing about the zombie genre is, that hasn't been mentioned, that I think is something that's attractive, is in all pretty much all, anything worth anything is always going to have a moral undertone, a moral narrative flowing through it. So when you have an adversary and people coming together to fight it, that's something that I think people enjoy, is this battle of good versus evil. So in the zombies, you know, there's this like nonstop force that can just come at you, and you just always got to be on alert. So there's, like in the Walking Dead series, it wasn't just zombies attacking all the time, or in 28 Days Later or whatever movie that deals with zombies. It's not just zombies attacking. There's a backdrop of how people are coming together to deal with a foe or an adversary and trying to overcome it or unite together in a way that's more harmonious, and trying to cooperate in order to contrast that force of like unspeakable evil that's like literally, you know, eating other people. As Brandon says, it's just disgusting, but these other people are trying to combat that, to go act as a contrast and subvert it or push it away or do something. So I think that's, apart from the negative, I think that's probably the thing that people, maybe I'm wrong, but that attracts people the most to like these types of things, is that there's this huge adversarial horde, and people are coming together and uniting and cooperating and trying to survive and move forward.
You know, I think too, Chris, the overwhelming aspect of it is also one of the thing that holds people back or makes them get that kind of, I just give up. And I've heard it in so many people I've discussed with. They're like, look at the world. Look at how people are acting. Look how many screwed up, effed up people there are out there. How are you going to change all that? Forget it. There's nothing we can do. You know, it's like those zombie movies or games where there's so many of them. It's such an overwhelming force. It's easy to start losing hope. And like in those movies, they work with that. Okay, what about the people left that aren't zombified? Are they giving up? Are they losing hope? You know, that is a real problem. And so I think as far as solutions, like Fred's saying, one of my solutions is I'm never giving up. You know, I have my own trajectory on what I'm going to do in this world while I'm here, zombies or no zombies. And I'm going to keep pushing in whatever way I can towards that trajectory. And that's to learn, to make my soul stronger. Some more positive solutions, work on your health. You know, that's something I'm constantly working on. Just got done with Sober September. Yes. You know, just like working out more, working on martial arts, meeting more people, putting your work online, learning how to do more types of work. But anyway, I could keep going on and on, but I'm really happy to see Theo here. Thanks for joining us, Theo. I'd love to hear what you have to say, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
popped off as soon as he got on there. Let me bring him back in. I think maybe that's an internet issue. There we go. Try speaking again, Theo. Still there?
Can you hear us, Theo? We're ready for you.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I think my connection is too bad. I'm sorry, guys. I'll try again next time, hopefully.
All right.
Thank you so much, and keep doing the great work. I love it.
Yeah. We hear you now. If you want to make a few points, go ahead.
Yeah, man.
I can hear me now because it's really bad. I cannot hear you. It's like very robotic.
You're coming in pretty clear. There might just be a delay on your side, but yeah, you're coming in clear for us for the most part.
Okay. So what can I say about zombie mindset and stuff like that? I feel like all of you already brought all the greatest points that, you know, I could come up with. So I don't know what I can really add to it. But I feel like it's more about helping those, you know.
Well, I think what Theo's saying is it's about showing up. And, you know, that's kind of a good example of what he did tonight. He you know, obviously the internet's not working with him. And but he showed up and he came on screen. And, like, you know, another person who makes a really good example of that is Jerry. Jerry's not here tonight, but many times when I've done these roundtables, Jerry has shown up. Every time we've had meetings, he shows up. He doesn't always have the perfect thing to say, and sometimes he'll admit it. I don't know what to say right here. But he tries, and he shows up, and he gets on screen, and he's ready to talk, you know. Even if he's not sure what to say, he'll try, you know, and he'll just sit there if he doesn't and listen and be ready, you know. And I think that is a tribute to what we all can do. Do what you can, you know, show up, be conscious, be aware of what's going on, and be a human being, be animated, you know. Do not follow orders unconsciously. I'd say that's the biggest thing. So we need to be our own masters. Thank you, Fred. That's a good way to put it. So, yeah, any last words from you folks before I play some of the awesome work that Derek put together and join the internet song?
I'd like to share a little bit. I think that, you know, we all need to go inward. You know, we need to be observant about what's happening inside us and endeavor to really get to know our deepest self. And then also really observe what's happening in the outer world, seeking the truth, right? And separating out our own, fantasies and our own false belief systems and the things we're clinging onto for safety, and let that aside to really look at the reality and the truth of what's happening, and then ask questions. Look for the why, you know, peel back the layers, don't stay on the surface of things, but peel back the layers and really seek to understand the why. And you could think of like the seven generations. You want to be thinking about what you're doing in terms of how a behavior will echo into the future. How will, you know, and just the standard sort of like, you know, what if everybody did this? You know, that parents in my generation would say to us kids, like, well, what if everybody did that? You know, how would that work? Right? You know, we need to think like that. We need to recognize that there's an outcome for our behavior, especially when we do it in hordes, you know, in large groups, right? That's creating an energy. So we want to be very mindful what we join in on, and really be thinking about that. The impact on the future and other generations, other people. We want to be also thinking about our behavior in terms of, okay, my job, let's say I'm doing my best at my job, but if I'm working, let's say, for the government, the money that's paying my good job, so to speak, is like blood money, right? There, you want to also follow past the obvious, past the immediate layer that you're living in, like me and mine, to really look at, okay, so then where does this money come from? And then where does that come from? You can continue to follow the threads, you know, outward, to then evaluate through the lens of morality, through the lens of right or wrong. We have to hold on to a moral compass as we're evaluating the truth of what's going on inside us and outside us in the world. And then with that honesty, make adjustments and start to align with moral principles and with the truth, and to make choices that are consistent with that. And that leads to those hard decisions about maybe leaving a job or changing some relationships or living with less money or something, right? So this is a process of like a daily and maybe hour by hour, minute by minute awareness of building your consciousness beyond just your own impulse, but to all the interconnections that you have with the world around you. So those are some of my thoughts.
Thanks, yeah. Leslie. It's like the context. The context is so important. I feel myself bringing that up a lot. And, you know, that's pertinent too, because what we see so often on the internet, even when we get into natural law circles, people starting to base their work on criticizing others or complaining about the work of others, or just picking some little pet topic and, you know, basically trying to shove it down everyone's throat. And it's like, if you're not putting something positive into this world, you're just joining all the zombies with the negativity. And I know that some of the stuff we talk about is negative, right? But there's a lot of difference between looking at something negative and talking about it from my own perspective and saying, here's what I've learned from this negative thing. Here's how we can transform it. Here's what I think should be done about it, versus just basing all my work on trying to get people's attention. And that works better on the algorithms if you call names, if you make fun of other people. But that is not working towards the long-term solution. The only thing that works towards the long-term solution is putting artistic effort and will into imagining that change and that transformation and putting energy in that direction. And right now, that's mainly informing and helping people to understand and see the problem, because obviously most percentage of the population doesn't see it, aren't aware of it. Otherwise, they would not be acting the way they're acting, you know? So
we have to help people keep their morale up and have some sense of hope and possibility also. And if you're tearing people down, you're working against that. You know, you're just feeding negativity into the soup of like yuck, and people are going to feel more shitty. They're not going to feel better. They're not going to see solutions, and they're not going to have the hope, you know? So I think that when we are speaking and we are like getting any kind of momentum in the world, I think we need to be really conscious and thoughtful of our words and how we're treating each other and how we're communicating about principles. That doesn't mean that we don't, you know, hold each other accountable in ways, but there's a way to do that. And as in my field, you know, I have a pretty deep understanding of what helps motivate change in people. And there's a limit to how negativity or mockery, you know, or yelling, you know, works. It can work to an extent, but then it usually backfires. And it's not the long-term solution, and it's not the deep or real solution. So, all right, I'm done.
All right. Just real quick, my last points. And I mean, I was thinking about this for half an hour of just like solution-wise. Yeah, Fred, that's totally what's up, because, you know, there's plenty of people commentating on the situation. And we need to breathe more life into this world that has become so fucking dark. Yes, we do need to rage against the dying of the fucking lights in so many ways. And sometimes in my artistic aesthetics of, you know, either mixing the music or whatever, even just my style of, you know, living. I'm trying to, infuse encouragement and just trying to be a good role model of someone who is living, you know, well within their skin, who feels, you know, good and one with nature, if you will, and who has that, you know, proper upright pentacle with not the inversion, you know, with the head in the ground, as we got that resurrection and we're not in zombie mode anymore, right? How's it going, Angela? And also, you know, when I do videos that talk about, you know, like the dire and blunt negative side of things, and how you paint a picture so grotesque that it compels people to do something, you know, outside of that and to the contrary, right? We're talking about movies, right? Well, who needs to watch movies and horror movies? We're living in one right fucking now. People are living in one within themselves. And yeah, Fred, shadow work for sure. People need to purge those demonic, parasitic thoughts and emotions and energies that are floating within them, for sure, no doubt. And that's really going to purify themselves. And, you know, like, I like that, you know, the scene in Lord of the Rings where, I can't even remember the king's name, but, you know, he was like in zombie mode with a worm tongue, you know, whispering sweet, you know, insidious bullshit, you know, year after year, and he's just crustified, right? And then you just see like the eyes, you know, illuminating and all that stuff. People can do that within themselves. And this is kind of why we have these meetings and do our videos and try to breathe more life into the ethers, the internet, and just in daily life. It's not just out there in internet land. This is a daily operation. You know, anywhere you go, you can, you know, carry your light with you, you know. Ain't always got to be in hermit mode, but I love that shit. Anyways, that's all I got.
Thanks, Derek. Looks like Angela managed to sneak in here right towards the end, but I'd love to hear your words, Angela, if you want to something strike you and you got something to say. You got your audio?
Well, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're coming in good.
Okay, great. Forgive my blue light glasses. They reflect the screen. And I'm on mobile. So all I know is that if you don't know how to plan in your life for eventualities, say like when you're young and you've got a test and you don't study for it, then you're going to follow the crowd and cheat, or you're going to follow the crowd and not do anything and fail. What I've come to find out is that people who plan, who look toward the future and not just skate by on what's available in front of them, succeed. They just succeed. And I think the zombie mentality comes out of that NPC meme, the non-player character, because they are rote, they do not plan, and they only react to their surroundings. And although this has probably been brought up before on this cast, I just want to say that being a planner in your life and anticipating the goals and the plans that you have, sometimes it's a good time not to reveal all those plans, because people will show up to thwart them or talk you down or talk you out of them or do this or do that. And sometimes plans you need to keep them close to the heart. You need to keep them close to the spirit and the mind, because sometimes plans take a long time to manifest. And I find that being honest by omission sometimes works in this world. And I hate to say that. I don't want to leave out the truth, but I'll give enough truth to where people understand what's going on, and then plans can still move forward. So I think that's my contribution. Thank you for letting me share.
Awesome, Angela. Thanks for being a long-term supporter of the show. And like I said, showing up and coming on and, you know, offering your unique point, you know, that's beautiful. That's what everybody needs to be doing, you know, because each of us hone in on different aspects of the truth, you know. And Derek sees one thing in France, and Leslie experiences one thing in her job, and Brandon sees nothing at the baseball field, and Chris sees another thing in his family dynamics right in the world where he lives, you know, and Angela's experiencing this realization, you know, that, you know, and I, in my mind, when she's talking about planning, I'm thinking about taking the initiative. You know, I'm thinking that part of you that wants to plan, like, I feel like some people don't realize you can do that. You can think in your own head. You can make your own plans. You can have plans within plans. But, you know, and sooner you're planting the seeds and considering what you may or may not do after the next thing, that gives you that extra level of bandwidth that helps you rise out of the muck of what everybody else is doing, is to have the initiative to make plans, you know, and then make plans that are positive, that seek towards what's best for seven generations in this world. So beautiful worlds, beautiful words, beautiful thoughts. And it is a beautiful world, despite all the evil and darkness that's in it. The actual thing is amazing, beautiful, and full of opportunity. And we need to cherish that and work towards the best it can be and the best we can be in it. So I encourage all of you to be inspired, be motivated, make plans, and take initiative. And I'm going to send us out here with a cool video that I think I'll start with the little song from Join the Internet. Thanks, Marvin, for putting the song together with your group. And Derek put a little background, some visuals for us. And then we're going to play Hotel Zombifornia. One Great Work Warrior remix by Derek. So thanks for joining me today, guys, and can enjoy these little treats on our way out. It disappeared. Sorry about that, guys. I turn this off, and I'll turn it back on. Here we go. Here it is. Okay. Silly computer. The zombies roam the streets, eating the kind of hard to meet and spend a lovely evening with. And all they want is brains. I know right to complain, cause they don't wanna pay for mine.
Every cafe, you will find them there. No eyes raised to greet us, they just scroll and they stare. Friends beside them are distant, each entranced by soft lights. Till heads grow heavy and their batteries drain, sometimes well into the night. Kinda all look like zombies, enchanted by handheld spells. Caught up in a world by themselves, and blinking like Cher and type LOL. One gets up and they amble, just get out of their way. They shuffle slowly with their eyes transfixed, just put your phone away. Watch out, or your cell phone will transform ya. In front of your face, in front of your face, stuck in cyberspace. It's chewing you up now, don't say I didn't warn ya. Like the living dead, just lift up your head. Your lives get so twisted. You wanna talk, just press send. A million followers on Instagram, YouTube subscribers, and strangers called friends. Face-to-face conversation, you prefer emoji. Swipe left or right, give a heart or like. talk to me. Every new place they check in, what is the Wi-Fi? And if the internet is down, well then it feels like they might die. Even on the toilet, their phone calls their name. Under the covers in the dead of night, playing Pokemon games. Watch out, or your cell phone will transform ya. In front of your face, in front of your face, stuck in cyberspace. Just lift up your eyes, the real world's too good to bore ya. You'll see things you find will deserve real lives. Thank you.